And welcome back to Push to Talk, the ATC chat session. One of the things we're talking here, we're talking with Chuck Adams. One of the things that you mentioned was the parallel runways, and we've got those out in Van Nuys as well. So just out of curiosity, does that present any particular problems for people as opposed to airports with just, you know, a single strip or the crossing runways when you've got two strips that are so close in number and people coming in from various directions? Or
Well, it really doesn't. Sorry about that, folks. It really doesn't present that much of a problem for us, because when we have the airport is so busy that we've divided the airspace. We have reporting points that pilots come in and out of, and it's very I don't know how else to say it, but it's sectorized to the point where the departures and the arrivals will never meet. The patterns are outside the middle, so it's not your standard right traffic. It's always outside the hub. No, it really doesn't pose a problem for us. But again, we're used to working it too. So
right.
When we do have pilots that come in that are not accustomed flying at controlled airports or tower airports, you can tell that on the frequency. You know, they're unsure of themselves. The voice inflection gives them away.
Right.
So you just give them a little extra TLC and make sure that they make it in and kind of clear a path for them and let them land. So
right.
And, you know, we live in an area that is largely agricultural. So we do have crop dusters that come in for their annuals and biannual type inspections, and they call us on the cell phone sitting on a dirt road somewhere and ask to come in and, you know, land. And we use light guns quite a bit, so it happens, you know.
Yeah, I know. I have to apologize. I know we're bouncing all over the place on topic here, but it's kind of one of those days of the week. And
that's fine.
And here we are toward the end of the week, and, you know, I was just mentioning parallel runways presenting a particular issue because you consider the sequencing might get very close together.
Well,
and
our runways are almost 4,000 feet apart, so there's quite a bit of separation. We're actually having a new set of another east-west runway built too that's even farther, so it's almost as if we have two separate airports, so it's really not an issue.
And and we were also speaking about the upgrades and the modernization that's on the horizon. Is any of that going to make any of this safer? If we do get this down, you know, your sequencing can get a little bit closer together without compromising safety, or what are some of the goals?
You know, wake turbulence is wake turbulence is wake turbulence. It doesn't matter, you know, what kind of equipment they have in the aircraft or what kind of ground-based equipment that you have. If you try and jam too many airplanes onto a runway surface, you're still going to have the physical obstacles that have always been there. It was a few years back, but a 737, a US Air 737, got caught up in a 727's wake.
Wow.
It was down over in North Carolina somewhere. It's been a number of years, and I can't remember all of the details, but he did a roll, yawed, and went into the ground. And those types of issues were just being discovered at that point, and that's when they started backing off. Even the 75s are now considered a heavy,
right,
not so much because of the weight, but because of the turbulence that comes off of the aircraft. So safety is our number one priority. It always has been, and it always will. I don't care if they come up with this next gen or whatever that they call this thing. It needs to be now gen, because whatever they're doing isn't soon enough. The DVRSM, being able to put more airplanes in the air. I noticed yesterday we were looking in the FAA booth. When 9/11 hit, there were a little over 5,000 airplanes in the air, and they were all safely landed within about a 2.5 hour period by the men and women of the controller workforce. Yesterday, there were over 7,600 IFR aircraft in the air.
Wow.
That's a 30%, 35% increase, roughly. My math is a little fuzzy,
that's
maybe.
Okay.
But
as long as your geometry is good.
You know, that's a major increase. About the same time, now, we were over there about 9:30, 10 o'clock, which is about when that all occurred. So being able to put more aircraft in the air still doesn't solve the problem,
right,
of the lack of concrete to be able to land them on.
And we're actually losing airports and losing facilities, at least in the general aviation side of things. So
The general aviation side of it, I think, will probably isn't going to be affected by this, but the commercial aviation, which is such a backbone of the economy of this country, is being affected by this very adversely. I mean, if all you have to do is look at the economic statements of the major carriers, they're having to merge to be able to keep moving and to keep going. So I don't know what the answer is other than build more concrete, and we need more controllers to be able to work the airspace. We're severely understaffed.
Yeah, I've heard that staffing has become a big issue.
It absolutely is.
As we're losing people, and not just losing people, but losing experience and not gaining new staff with the same...
Well, let's put it in numbers that maybe would make a little more sense. We're losing 6 controllers a day.
And you're gaining...
2.5.
Yeah, that's an imbalance right there.
I don't care how you fix those numbers. We're losing. We're losing the battle. And the 6 controllers that are going away are even new folks that have put $100,000 toward their education, being treated like a horse apple at the facility, and are saying, I don't need this. I can go work someplace else and make the same money or more and be treated like a human being.
I'm seeing pilots falling out of the industry as well, but
yeah.
It's not just air traffic
on the air traffic side of it, but I mean, if we don't have controllers, there are now delays being put in place because of short staff facilities. The East Coast is going to be one of the first places, and that's the most congested airspace in the world. They're going to start hitting, and summer's not over yet.
Is there anything on the table to deal with this strategically, hiring-wise, employment-wise? I mean, aside from, you know, I guess what one individual called it was the vaporware of concepts that is next gen and everything else they're talking about, but something that can be implemented in the short term. I mean, what's the attitude about fixing this problem?
Well, and I hate to say this, but I think if they fix the contractual side of it, if they would go back to the table and actually talk to us and negotiate with us, there's a 30-35% pay disparity between the new folks coming on board and the folks that are already working. The folks that were on board before 2006. I mean, it hasn't even kept up with inflation from where I was back in 1998. So the contractual dispute, if they would go back to the table and negotiate with us in good faith, I believe that would be fixed. I believe that the purge would slow down to a point that we would, because I had a union meeting in my facility, I don't know, 2.5 weeks ago. I looked around the table, and besides the old grizzled gray-haired fart that I am, the most senior person sitting at the table had 2.5 years in the agency.
Wow. Definitely, I would say times are changing, but it just sounds like a petty understatement. So.
Well, and you know, I mean, these guys are they're eager, they're willing. And again, if a situation occurs that they've never seen before, they don't have somebody with experience sitting behind them going, look, you need to do X, Y, and Z. You need to find out ABC from that aircraft, from that pilot, so that you can effectively help that airplane. They don't have the experience to fall back on.
Yeah. Well, again, if anybody out there has any questions, we've got a couple more minutes here on the air. That number is 920-230-7984. And we're not just taking questions. If you have some comments or you want to add to the discussion, be more than welcome to call in. And we will put you on the air here in the last couple minutes. Also, if you have any questions and we don't have the time for that today, we'll be back on tomorrow. So stay tuned for that push to talk tomorrow as well.
I'm going to hit a shameless plug here real quick. This afternoon at 2:30 in Pavilion Number 8, the NACA Pavilion, we will be doing another forum.
And where do you find the NACA Pavilion?
The NACA Pavilion is Pavilion Number 8. It's one of the larger pavilions. It's kind of in the back, the northwest corner of the area.
So this is in the Forums Plaza.
It's in the Forums Plaza near the Honda tent, if you know where the Honda Pavilion, if you know where that's at. And this will be the top 10 controller mistakes, and it's a very humorous view. At least I think it's funny. You know, if you have to be in the aviation industry to get some of the jokes, but it'll be a good time. Come on out and join us.
And can you share any of those with our listening audience as a teaser right now?
Well, I'll do one. Probably 4 years ago, I was working up in the tower, and we were working south local. I'll clarify that. We were working the south tower frequency, 26.6. We're working 3.6 arrivals, And there was a steady stream coming from Fisk. That east-west road was just chock full of airplanes. We're peeling them off to the right, left, right, so forth. IFR traffic, warbirds, it was just chaotic for us. And there was a young lady working. She was giving instructions to our rookie, and the rookie was being on top of it. He was just absolutely snapping the instructions. She yells out, "Have the little white guy follow the little black guy." White airplane, black airplane. I don't know, it was funny at the time.
No, that's, well, that's not really quite descriptive enough in the first place. So.
Well, no, it's not. I mean, one was a tail dragon, one was a high wing, but it just, those are the types of little bloopers and mistakes that, you know, as controllers, we think they're funny. There's an entire book upstairs of all the misspoken comments, you know, the wiggle your gear and those types of things that are...
Had somebody say, "Here, rock the tower if you can hear me."
Yeah, that was Fast Eddie, I think, right. Was going out. You know, I have one of the pilots come back and go, "Hey, rock the tower if you can hear me." So, you know.
This has been Push to Talk here at EAA Radio. I'm Magneto Mel.